All right. Good morning. Thank you for coming. Today I'm going to be talking about mostly the research that I've been doing in efforts to get my master's. We've been looking at soils formed from till deposits in the Lake Tahoe Basin in California, and eventually trying to use those to understand the tectonic setting within the basin in the recent time. So the concept of glaciation in the Sierras is nothing new. For over a century, they've been looking at and studying the glacial episodes, but using them in the basin here to look at the tectonic setting is really where we're focusing. So some preliminary work by Jim Howell from the USGS, who's the one who came to us seeking some soils advice. They were doing dating, seeing faulting in the basin and wanting to do dating, so to figure out when the earthquakes were taking place. So by cosmogenic exposure dating of boulders, they've aged two glacial episodes, the Tahoe and Tioga glaciations, at 60 and 20,000 years, again, by cosmogenic exposure dating of boulders. So those are minimal ages of the tills specific to our location. Within these moraines, they see offsets, and we'll see some of the LIDAR data that's recently been released. They see offsets across the faults or across the moraines that are evidence of major faulting that have caused surface tearing across the tills. At this point, really, we're just trying to figure out if we can find differentiating characteristics of the soils that can really help us to identify on landscapes where the landform can't tell us the age, if we can use soils to help corroborate the differentiating of Tahoe versus Tioga-aged landscapes. So this is the site location. We see is California here and Nevada. The border runs through the lake. And here along the west side in the Meeks Creek drainage, this is the right lateral moraine. And you can see this is the LIDAR data, again, that's been recently released of the whole basin that's really helped us out in all these samples were taken before we had the use of the LIDAR data, but now we can see where we sampled was good, and it's really helping us to figure out where to look next. But along these highest crest here is evidence of the older, more extensive Tahoe glaciation, and then insides along that is the less extensive Tioga glaciation, and then likely some recessional moraines that would have been less extensive below that. So our sampling has been along the moraine crests of both the Tahoe and Tioga soils, and you can see here in this pinkish-red color, there's currently not mapped any faults within these moraines, but using this LIDAR data, it's pretty clear that these are traces of the faulting that has been occurring, and as I was saying before, you can see it bisects the moraines, and you can trace this going northward in the basin along the other moraines. So this is just another depiction of if it wasn't clear, a hand-drawn cross-section showing that idea of you have horizontal differentiation of the tills, the more extensive, older. This is the 60,000-year Tahoe and the around 20,000-year Tioga glaciation. So you would think 40,000 years difference, there's got to be something in the soils that'll really, you know, stand out in the field to describe them, and that's not the case. There's the current mapping of the soils doesn't differentiate between Tahoe and Tioga soils. They're all of the Meeks soil series, which is a sandy skeletal district zeroarthent, so really not developed, low base saturation. This is all from granitic parent material, granitic till, so very bouldery, cobbly. And, you know, in some cases you're talking about 60 to 70% rock fragments, so your fine earth fraction is not very dominant. And, you know, you all have, there's textures mostly of loamy sands and sands. So there's not really, when you're out there describing them in the field, picking out differentiating characteristics, so you can look at, so this is a combination of, you know, sort of field descriptions and some lab data of an example Tioga and Tahoe soil. It might not be clear here, but it's really, when you're trying to pick out, although since we've sampled from rain crests, that's how we've known what age we were using, or we were on, really the soil's characteristics describing in the field are not enough that you would confidently say in a location where you didn't know the landform what age of deposit you were on. In the field, it's hard to pick up on, but it seems that from pipette analysis, there's a little bit finer texture in the Tahoes, a little bit more clay. In one pet on, we even see a little bit of a clay bulge with some grain bridging, so a BT horizon not depicted here. But still, you know, when you're talking about three, in the field, they all feel like, you know, less than 6% clay, although you can see in the surface here there was 8, and in that slight BT horizon, there was as much as 14% clay. So there is some redistribution of clay, possibly, but again, in the field, hard to differentiate between the soils. So we took samples back to the lab and wanted to look at mineralogy, micromorphology, and chemistry to see if we could find differentiating characteristics between the soils in order to confidently say a particular soil is of a particular age. And one of the first things we looked at was selective dissolution. So some of the colors of the Tahoes were a little bit redder, more of the 10YR hues. So going with that, we looked at the extractable iron, and the diathionite extractable iron is really focusing on the crystalline, the petogenic iron, and you can see that this worked pretty well at differentiating Tioga soils, the younger soils having less petogenic iron, so less secondary formation of minerals like hematite and goethite, because they haven't been around as long forming those minerals versus the Tahoe soils being around longer and accumulating more iron. So this was good. This was something that, you know, it seems that would differentiate the soils on one case. We then looked at the mineralogy more. So these are example X-ray diffractograms. So looking at over these are surface horizons from an example Tahoe and Tioga soil. And, you know, there's this integrated, there's 14 and 10 angstrom, collapsing to 10 angstrom mineral. But the interesting one to us that we wouldn't have expected in this cold, you know, relatively undeveloped soil to find these highly weathered minerals like kaolinite and gibbsite, these highly desilicated minerals that you typically think of in old, strongly leached environments. And so that was something that stood out to us, and with depth. So this is now the bottom horizons of the same Tahoe and Tioga. We see even more, especially in the Tahoes, a dominance of gibbsite in the clay fraction mineralogy. So to investigate that more, gibbsite and kaolinite as well is quantified well using thermal gravimetric differential scanning calorimetry, so heating samples and measuring the we looked at the mass loss, so the thermal gravimetric, so by quantifying, by using, you know, setting up the standard curve using known amounts of gibbsite, we were able to quantify the total amount of gibbsite in each soil, and again, we can see that Tahoe soils tend to have more gibbsite. These were in clay fraction samples that were pretreated with peroxide to limit the influence of organic matter on the exotherm of the samples. And you see that the Tahoe soils, being around for longer, have accumulated more of this gibbsite than the Tioga soils that are younger and not as much. The last thing that we looked at was some physical alteration of the grains. So looking at the very fine sand fraction, we see that the overall grain counting, comparing more weatherable to less weatherable minerals, didn't really pan out, but looking at the physical alteration of hornblende, which is a fairly well more weatherable mineral, by setting up classes of physical wet alteration, you know, these fresh, mildly weathered grains versus more grussified weathered grains in the Tahoe soils, there's more gressification going on than in the Tioga soils. So again, something that we feel confident to start differentiating these soils. So at this point, we seem to have found a couple of factors that we can use to say in combination soils are of a given age, and really moving forward, taking that on a larger sample size to look at the, you know, the distribution on those scarps that were mapped, and hopefully finding datable materials along those scarps that can help us to constrain the ages of the faulting going on in the basin. So, happy to take any questions if we have any time. Are we done?
We have.
All right. Thank you very much. Oh. Any questions?